This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
It's election day in Virginia. Chris Graham on Street Knowledge, and we're going to talk some politics today here on Election Day Tuesday. Odd year elections in Virginia and New Jersey. The first test of the new Trump coalition, you could say, or will we see more status quo in Virginia, where the vote has trended blue for about the last 10, 11 years. We'll go back to 2006. The big upset win, Jim Webb over George Allen. George Allen at that time was looked at as a top presidential candidate for 2008. He lost that re-election bid in 2006 to Jim Webb. Barack Obama won the Virginia presidential votes for the first time as a Democrat since 1964. Republicans had a blip in 2009. They won the statewide offices that year, but then 2012, Barack Obama wins Virginia again in his run for re-election. Mark Warner had won in 2008. Tim Kaine wins in 2012, running for the U.S. Senate. 2013, then Democrats sweep all three statewide offices, and the trend continues. So aside from that blip in 2009, we've seen Democrats dominating statewide elections in Virginia, again, dating back to 2006. But, you know, I say dominating, but it's sort of like, you know, your favorite football team can be dominating when they win 49-0 or if they win a bunch of 24-23 games. In the end, all you want to do is win, right? Well, Democrats have won a lot of close elections. We're not talking about blowout wins at the state level. In fact, the 4 years ago race at the state level, Terry McAuliffe won by just a little over 2 points against Ken Cuccinelli, the Republican Attorney General at the time. And we've seen, you know, Mark Warner in 2014. In his bid for re-election, his approval ratings were actually still around 60%. Very popular former governor. He won his first election to the Senate in 2008 by an overwhelming margin. That was the one outlier. He beat Jim Gilmore, another former governor Republican, by a rather significant margin. But outside of that, in 2014, Warner led in the polls the weekend before Election Day by as much as 10, 12 points. But he had to eke out a victory that was just outside the margin of error over Ed Gillespie. Ed Gillespie's name's familiar to you probably because if you watch TV and live in Virginia or in D.C., you've seen his commercials, both his commercials and Ralph Northam's commercials painting him, dating back to early August. Heavy rotation. You can't watch anything on the TV without seeing a slew of these ads during commercial breaks. If you watch football, you know, the Redskins, the Ravens, if you watch college teams over the past few weekends, the World Series, yeah, it's been commercial after commercial after commercial with these two guys. Ed Gillespie running a spirited campaign. Ralph Northam, the Democratic Lieutenant Governor, himself running a spirited campaign, a very expensive campaign. And here we are, last day. This is the day it all translates into votes. It's a rainy day. It's a cold day. And this is across the Commonwealth. I'm here in my little podcast studio, which, I mean, I'm a runner. I'm a distance runner. I normally run on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Well, today I wasn't going to run because I looked at the forecast, and the forecast said temperatures in the low 40s and rain. I can run in the low 40s. I can run in light rain. I'm not running in low 40s in light rain, though, because that's where you get sick. So I actually ran yesterday. It was 75 degrees. This is such odd weather. Will weather have an impact on turnout? That's to be questioned. I actually saw a tweet from University of Virginia Center for Politics Professor Larry Sabato, who said, yes, it will have an impact on turnout, and it tends to actually benefit Republican candidates. And I read the analysis, and it's really not a reason why, but just that when you look at over the years, the trends, the voter turnout in the more Democratic parts of Virginia, which tend to be that urban crescent from Hampton Roads to Richmond up to Northern Virginia, tends to be a little depressed on rainy days. So whatever the case may be, I guess, you know, you're talking about places with high populations. As a result, a lot of commuters, a lot of people who sit in traffic, and they just maybe decide that rainy day, I'm not going to, you know, sit in traffic longer and get out and get wet and get back in the car and get out and get wet again and et cetera, et cetera. So whereas folks in rural areas, I don't know, maybe, you know, we don't have the commutes that they have in the eastern and northern parts of the state, and so as a result we can, you know, go vote more regularly. I don't know. It's not a huge tick, but it is a tick. And in a race where you look at the Real Clear Politics averages that suggest this race is going to be a close race, you know, it's within the margin of error, but, you know, you're talking a 3.3% lead for Northam over Gillespie in the Real Clear Politics average poll of polls. We see anything from the Quinnipiac poll that was out yesterday that had a 9-point lead for Northam, down from a 17-point lead last week. That's the outlier of the polls, you know, at least on the one side, the extreme side, the Democrat extreme side. We've seen a couple of polls put out by polling firms that you've not heard of, so I won't even mention their names because it won't matter, who have the Republican in the lead. You have also the Rasmussen poll, which is the famous leaning Republican poll, has the race tied here going on to Election Day. The Christopher Newport University poll, I've been tracking that one over the last few weeks. It's been the least volatile. You've seen movement in some of these others. Quinnipiac, again, going from in September, it was a close race, to a 17-point lead for Northam, to now a 9-point lead. You know, lots of movement back and forth. The Christopher Newport University polls have been pretty consistent. The movement from last month to this month, just about a point in the direction of Gillespie. Now it has a 6-point lead for Northam, 51-45. Also, when you look down the ticket, you have Justin Fairfax running for lieutenant governor as a Democrat against Jill Vogel. Fairfax with a lead over Vogel, about a 5-point lead. And a little narrower race for attorney general with the incumbent attorney general, Mark Herring, with a 4-point lead across some of the polls I've seen, 3 to 4-point lead over John Adams, a newcomer to statewide politics, Republican attorney general nominee. So you have – here we are on Election Day. I'm recording this podcast at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours till the polls close. The polls tell us that Democrats have a slight edge, but get your attention. Last year, sitting here at 1 o'clock on Election Day, 52 weeks ago today, and this isn't disparaging at all, but the Hillary turned the drapes in the Oval Office, as the saying goes. The polls had Hillary as, you know, gosh, the 538 forecast, the Huffington Post model, the New York Times model, all had her a 95% chance or better of winning the election, and we know what happened. She won the popular vote, lost the Electoral College, and as a result lost the election. Now, there's not a similar factor in a statewide election. It's not like, you know, you look at the 11 congressional districts and whoever wins the most congressional districts gets an electoral vote, and, you know, no matter what the statewide vote is overall, you know, those electoral votes add up. And because if that was the case, Republicans will win every election the way they've gerrymandered Virginia. This being a state, again, that I've mentioned, dating back to 2006, has consistently elected Democrats at the state level, also still has an 8-3 advantage at the congressional level, the House level, for Republicans, just because of the way things have been gerrymandered. You look at the House of Delegates, it's a 65-34-1 ratio for Republicans. Again, with all three statewide office holders being Democrats, you have a state Senate in control of Republicans. So, there's no electoral college factor, though, in a state race. It's winner take all. You vote, everybody votes, everybody's votes are thrown into a basket, you count them up, and you see who wins. That said, you know, so I'm not thinking as much about 2016 here because Hillary Clinton actually won Virginia, actually polled better on Election Day than she was polling in the polls, won Virginia by about 5 points on Election Day last year. It's more the factor of 2014, and I'm going back to that Ed Gillespie run against Mark Warner. We're going into Election Day. He was down big. There was one poll, and it was actually Christopher Newport University's poll, that had the race tightening up. But that one looked like the outlier because everyone else had the race 8, 10, 12 more points. And the race actually did close up at the end there. And, you know, things were tight on election night. Now, I'll mention election night, and it's going to be a little different this year. If you've already been to the polls, you know this. If you're heading to the polls, you're not going to be electronic voting today. Virginia... the State Board of Elections deciding earlier this year we're going to do paper ballots. And so we still had our little machines set up like we did before. We just used them as placeholders while we were filling in our little ovals. We were handed sheets of paper and pens just like in the old days. And we're trying to keep the Russians from throwing our elections, right? So you still had to, at least in my case, in Waynesboro, Virginia, here 20 miles west of Charlottesville, and et cetera, et cetera. We still had to feed our oval papers into a machine that reads them. Can they be manipulated? I don't know. I don't know. Doubtful, but, you know, who knows. So there's a little bit of extra time there filling in those ovals. That's a factor. But I guess the fact that we're still using the reader machines, you know, if you followed Virginia politics on election nights, you probably wondered, man, every time I watch, it's kind of like watching a football game. The Republicans always have the lead in the first half, and Democrats come back and win in the end. Why is that? Well, it's a pretty simple reason. It's just the fact that the vote-heavy parts of the state for Republicans happen to be the Southwest and West and South-Central parts of Virginia. The more rural areas where there are less votes per precinct, less votes per county and city, and so they tally their votes up pretty quickly. And they spit them out, and they, you know, send them out to the State Board of Elections. State Board of Elections sends them out to, you know, the internet and to reporters. And so those are the numbers you see first. And those parts of the state are Republican-leaning. I live in one of those parts of the state. Our numbers are usually in by 8:15, 8:30. Whereas those vote-heavy parts of the state for Democrats tend to be those concentrated urban areas. The Norfolk area is a big Democratic area. Richmond, certainly. I mean, those are two areas that are 80% or more Democrat on statewide election days. And then some of those Northern Virginia counties ringing around D.C., Fairfax County, where 1 million Virginians live, for example, very strong Democratic vote there. But, you know, when you're talking about, the number of voters they have in those localities, it does take a while to spit those results back out. So, you know, 9 o'clock or so tonight, it doesn't matter how the election is going to turn out. 9 o'clock or so tonight, Ed Gillespie is going to have the lead in the polls. If you're a Democratic voter, you're listening to this podcast, I'm telling you right now, don't fret that. Don't even fret it if it's, say, a 5 or 6 or 7 point lead, because those parts of the state, if it's not a 5 or 6 or 7 point lead or more, it could even be a 10 point lead halfway through the vote count, but halfway through the precinct's reported count. If it's not somewhere in that range for Ed Gillespie, he's going to lose big, because those parts of the state, that Urban Crescent area, Hampton Roads up through Richmond up to D.C., are going to vote overwhelmingly for the Democrat in this case, in the governor's race, at Ralph Northam, his ticket mates. And the number of votes in those areas are significant. I mean, you know, the state, when you look at a map, you see if you have red for Republicans and blue for Democrats, there's a lot of red and a few little splotches of blue, but those splotches of blue have a lot of people living in them. And those parts that are red have a lot of cows living in them, and cows don't vote. And I live in one of those parts of the state. I live in a city in a county. I grew up in Augusta County, which surrounds Waynesboro. That the county of Augusta is almost as big as the state of Rhode Island, and yet when you add up the county and the two cities that are surrounded by county, Waynesboro and our neighboring city Stanton, about 10 miles to my west, 115,000 residents, and that's actually for a rural area, you know, pretty concentrated, because there, you know, we have some localities around us, Rockbridge County to our south, where Lexington is, which has Washington Lee University, VMI. The county of Rockbridge plus the cities of Buena Vista and Lexington, maybe 50,000 total residents. Rockingham County, Harrisonburg, which is to our north. Now you'll have more because in Harrisonburg, where JMU is based, Eastern Maryknight University, there's Bridgewater College down the road in Bridgewater. Harrisonburg's population itself is around 40, 45. The county's around 60. So, you know, and then you look again, I mentioned Fairfax County with 1 million people living in it. You know, you're going, so you'll see our numbers pop out first. Their numbers will come in later. I don't know the fact we're going the more paper ballot route than the electronic route. I still think we're counting them electronically. We tend to see elections kind of linger here until about 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And I don't know if that's going to be delayed by the new voting systems that we'll have in place. But I will tell you that, you know, if you're a Republican listening to this, don't get too excited when you're up at the halfway point. If you're a Democrat, don't get too far down. It's halftime. It's a football game. Let's look at it that way. And, you know, and of course, here on Augusta Free Press, I'll give myself a little plug here. We'll be live blogging tonight. I'll also do a couple of cut-ins on Facebook Live to analyze the numbers as they're rolling in. What I do is I sit down on election night. I've been doing this for the last 15, 16 years, analyzing Virginia elections. What I'll do is I'll look at trends early in the night. I'll look at the vote totals coming in from Southwest, Western Virginia, South Central Virginia. and compare them to 2016 numbers, to 2013 numbers, 2014 I think also we'll look at in terms of the Mark Warner, Ed Gillespie race. And we'll just give you a trend. Hey, how did this county do for Gillespie versus Northam, as it did for Gillespie versus Warner, as it did for Trump versus Clinton, etc.? You know, we'll do those kind of things, because as the night goes on, then we start getting more numbers in. But, you know, those early trends can be interesting. You know, is Gillespie polling better this year than he did in 14? Is he polling behind what Trump did in 2016? I mean, those kind of things can really help you get a sense of where things are going to go. It's like when I live blog during a football game. I'm trying to, you know, give you a sense of where it's going to go before it gets there. So we'll be doing that tonight. We'll start at 7 o'clock. The numbers really start trickling in 7:30, 7:45-ish. 8 o'clock, we'll really start hitting the ground running. And then I won't know what time it is until about 1 tonight. But we'll have all those analytical pieces. We'll have, as the comments roll in from candidates, we'll share those with you as well. In addition, you know, obviously for me locally, there are some local House races. Democrats are at least running candidates in 88 of the 100 races this year. They're not going to get a majority. They're not going to get anywhere close to a majority, but we will follow those House races, particularly our local races here, the 20th District, where incumbent Dickie Bell is being challenged by Michelle Edwards, a Democrat. Also the 25th District, where incumbent Steve Landis is being challenged by a Democrat, Angela Lynn. We'll follow those races, and we'll follow, again, the statewide races, too, and the House races across the state, I should say. So that's going to be a fun, long, busy night, but it's election night. It's like the Super Bowl of politics, and we'll be on top of it and try to help you make sense of it as the night goes on. Of course, tomorrow, then, you're still listening here. Tomorrow, we will kind of wrap things up with, analysis of how the votes went down across the state. That's something that really helps make a lot of sense. So we'll do that tomorrow as well. One other thing I thought I'd throw out there about these elections that I want to get your attention for. So I mentioned that, you know, of course, as the numbers roll in, they roll in from southwest to northeast, and it takes all night. One thing to look for here, we talked about the rain and the impact the rain and cold weather may have on the election. In any case, whether it was 75 and sunny today or 40 and rain across the Commonwealth, varying temperatures, but it's cold and it's rainy across the Commonwealth today, we were going to see less people turn out than we saw last year. That's a guarantee. Gubernatorial election years are better than next year, for example, a midterm election. Actually, next year's midterm election could have a lot of turnout because Tim Kaine's up for re-election. But, you know, in Virginia, we do have a cycle every, what would that be, every so many years, where the only races on the ballot in a midterm congressional year are just those congressional races. And turnout in those years can be around 30% of the overall voter registration base. Presidential years, you can see 75%. So it can, you know, varies from 3 in 10 of us voting to 3 in 4 of us voting. Last year, we had turnout just under 4 million voters, raw voters, number of raw voters in Virginia. And that turnout was close to 80%. Just looking back historically, 2013, so we had almost 4 million. It was 3.996 million voters last year going to the polls in Virginia. In 2013, just 2.24 million voters. In 2009, only 2 million voters, just a sliver over 2 million voters casting votes. So roughly half to 55% of the people who will turn out on a presidential year will turn out in a gubernatorial year. So that's a factor. That's why if you're Larry Sabato and you've done this historical analysis of how the weather can impact turnout in the urban crescent, why it matters because on a gubernatorial year, because there's already a much lower number of people voting in that election. So that means if you voted, your vote does count more in a sense than it did last year because, you know, you're almost voting for two people this year. You're almost casting the effect of two weighted votes this year. So if some people don't show up because of rain, you get even more of a representation in the polls. So yeah, look for that tonight. The turnout's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, I saw a friend of mine, Tucker Martin, who I've known for a long, long time. Tucker is a Republican campaign operative. He worked for Jerry Kilgore. He worked for Bob McDonnell. I've known Tucker for a long, long time. We share mutual interest as UVA sports fans, too, so we're always tweeting back and forth at each other about UVA sports primarily. But on election day, I saw his tweet this morning. He said, the thing that people like us do on election day all day long is we ask each other constantly, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? You know, and before social media days, you know, what we would do is we would email each other. We would email each other or call each other. And even before email, I don't know what we did. We probably just went crazy. But now during the, you know, the Twitter days and Facebook days, you know, we're asking, what are you hearing out there? And, you know, if news organizations, I'm sure whatever news organization in your local area that you follow, you know, you'll get those turnout reports. Hey, at Bessie Weller Elementary School, you know, at 1 o'clock we had 571 voters. 3 years ago we had this many voters at 1 o'clock. So, you know, you're always following those numbers. And then, you know, is turnout heavy in Fairfax? How about in Dickinson County? You know, it's just that's what you do during the day to keep yourself occupied. I mean, the first time I heard an election day, actually the first time I ever heard a podcast, not even an election day podcast, the first time I heard a podcast, I don't remember which year it was, but Chris Saxman, a former Republican state delegate, now the director of Virginia Free, a business lobby organization based in Richmond. Love Chris. He's got such a sound mind about politics. Smart enough guy that he got out of politics, and he's now you know, making money advocating for policy. Chris is the one who told me, and I want to say it was maybe 2005 or 2006, and he sent me a link and said, listen to this. There's this guy doing a podcast. And I never even heard – I didn't even know what a podcast was. All I knew is I clicked on the link, and it was I can't even think of who it was, but it was some guy talking to another guy, and they were talking about politics on election day because that's what you do. If you're a political nut, it's kind of like, again, if you're a football nut. If Super Bowl's 6 o'clock on Sunday, what are you doing all day? You're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Well, this is an election day Super Bowl for us here in Virginia. And so what are you doing all day? You're talking about the Super Bowl. You're talking about the election. So for me now, I'm finishing up this podcast, and I'm going to try. We'll see if I can be successful. But I'm going to try to just completely shut down. I'm going to go get a workout in, you know, maybe have a good dinner, because there's nothing I can do until numbers start rolling in at 7:30, 7:45. And even then, you know, you only got a few numbers. So I've got 6 hours from the time I finish this podcast, produce it, get it up for you guys to listen to, 6 hours to kill. And I'm going to be doing my best not to tweet, what are you hearing? But it probably won't work. So, again, join us. You listen to this podcast, whatever time you're listening to it on election day, join us tonight at AugustaFreePress.com. I'll also tweet out my thoughts as I'm putting them down on the blog. I'll also put them on our Facebook page. The shorter ones, 140 characters or less, I put on Twitter. The longer ones I put on the Augusta Free Press Facebook page. Also, they're on our live blog. So we'll have a live blog set up for tonight. So there's lots of ways you can keep up with what we're doing. I also mentioned I'll do a couple of Facebook Live sort of mini podcast type things. You can just see my face. That's the only difference with the podcast. And so we'll do those tonight. This is you know, it's huge. It's a big election in Virginia. No matter which side of the aisle you're on, it's certainly a big election with everything that's gone on in American politics the last couple of years. So we will try to make sense of it for you. And want to thank you for listening to this. We'll talk to you again later today. It's election day. Get out there and vote.